Yeah, it's such an honor to be here this evening. I was just reminded this week of just how privileged we are and how blessed we are as a community. Wasn't here for a couple weeks, just to some other stuff going on, and Thursday night was back in the prayer room, and it was just like, almost had to pinch myself, you know, that wow, this is actually the community, this is the glory of God, and that His presence is so real, it's so near. And even Arlen was leading worship Thursday night, and I was just like, this is just awesome. And I remembered even just kind of me first coming into Branch a little over 5 years ago, and how much that changed my life at such a vital, such a pivotal point in my life. So, just so honored to be here this evening with you guys, and it definitely is a blessing. So tonight, so I was praying about what to share and stuff. I just felt like I heard this, just this phrase, it was Thursday, it was just Emmanuel, God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. And what does, I was like, what does that look like for us as Branch? What does that look like for us as individuals in this community, in this season? Get this thing situated. So let's look at Isaiah 7, verses 10 through 14. I think I'll probably pull it up too. And just to give you a little context of what's happening here is Isaiah, the Lord sends Isaiah to Ahaz, who's king at the time, and sends him to Ahaz with two words. And the first word basically is that there's these people coming up against him, and basically the word of the Lord was that they're not going to overtake him and so forth. And then the second word was, starting verse 10, says, "Moreover, the Lord spoke again to Ahaz, saying, ask a sign for yourself from the Lord your God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above." This is like an amazing invitation. You know, oh, what would it be like to have the Lord say this to us? You know, ask it from the depth or from the height above. But Ahaz, he responds and he's like, "I will not ask, nor will I test the Lord." And he's actually testing the Lord with his response. And I mean, it's a crazy. And Isaiah says, "Hear now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will you weary my God also?" And then the next verse is just, it's such an interesting place to have a prophecy of the Messiah. That in this context of like the Lord asking, "You ask me a sign," and this guy's not willing to even ask for a sign. But it says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. And as I was just thinking about what does that really mean, God with us? What does that change in our time, in our season? What does that change that God is with us? And Matthew talks about this in chapter 1, and he just talks about it being fulfilled when Jesus came. And as I was thinking about that, you know, as the angels sang in Luke 2, and they said, they're like, you know, Christ is born in Bethlehem. And basically, Christ is born, you know, Emmanuel, God with us. And just thinking about that, what did that mean to them? And what does that mean to us? And it means a lot. But one of the things that I had to think about was that Emmanuel, God with us, does that mean that, you know, while Jesus was here in the flesh, and then he left 33 years later, did that mean that Emmanuel, God with us, left? Or was it a new reality, a new season, a new era for the human race, that it was unto Jesus coming to restore us, that was actually not only God with us, but God in us? And just thinking about that, and the religious leaders of the day couldn't wrap their mind around it. And even still today, the human mind cannot wrap their mind around this thing that God in us, God with us. But that is the beauty of this season. That's the beauty of Christmas, that Emmanuel, God with us, is so much bigger than just Jesus coming in the flesh, but actually that it was unto us being restored to the Father. We'll read in John 14, I think it's 19 to 23. And Jesus actually talks about this, you know, how even what I talked about is like, you know, if God was with us, if Jesus was with us for 33 years, did it mean that when he left that he was no longer Emmanuel, God with us? And so here, Jesus actually sort of talks about this. So starting in verse 19, he says, "A little while longer, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. At that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him." And Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" At this point, while the disciples are still thinking, you know, Jesus is going to come as king. He's going to overthrow the Romans. And so, like, this is like, Jesus, how are you going to manifest yourself and not to the world? This didn't make sense to them that Jesus would show himself, you know, for who he really was to them, but not to the world. In their mind, he's going to be king. So then if we go on, verse 23, Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." So here he's talking about that, a little while longer, and the world will see me no more. So he's talking about this, that he's leaving. But he's also saying that if you love me, that me and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with us. And so as I was just thinking about, what does this really mean that the angels sang about? And what Christmas really means is that, like, Emmanuel, God with us, was so much greater than just Jesus as a baby, so much greater than just his 33 years here, but it was an invitation to something so much more, which was him in us and us in him. And it also ties, so much of this ties into even, you know, the next chapter in John where it says, "Abide in me and I in you," and that basically we can't bear any fruit without him. And so God with us, God in us, this is the center of everything that we believe as Christians. This is the gospel. It's the good news to the poor, to the blind. It's good news to the orphans, to the widows, to the captives, to the addicts, to the lost, to the broken, to the ones that are crying out for freedom. And really, this is the basis of what we believe as Christians, that God with us, that Jesus became flesh. And this is what every other religion does not acknowledge, that Jesus became flesh, that God became flesh. This is where, and Paul talks about it, you know, that we'll know by whether they acknowledge that Jesus was God in the flesh. And, you know, so a lot of other religions we see that they think he was a prophet, but none of them acknowledge him as the Son of God coming in the flesh. But this really is just a game changer, you know, for those that are lost, because all of a sudden this is a reality that changes everything, that he came to restore mankind to himself. The other thing that I was thinking was, Emmanuel, God with us, what does this mean? And I was thinking about some of the prophecies in the Old Testament, that this was the covenant that God made with Abraham. It was a part of that being fulfilled. And it was Isaiah's prophecy fulfilled, Ezekiel's prophecy fulfilled, Jeremiah's prophecy fulfilled, that this was a fulfillment of all these prophets in the Old Testament, that God with us. And then I had to think, why was God coming to the earth? Why did God want to be with us? Why did Jesus want to be with us? Did he just want to hang out? Or was it to restore us back to him, to fulfill the covenant he made with Abraham? And I do believe his disciples so much that I think he loved hanging out with them too. But ultimately, there was a greater purpose. One of the things that I found interesting as I was studying this is that God told Abraham to go to the region of Moriah to sacrifice his only son, Isaac. And years later, it was in the same region, what they believed to be the same mountain that Abraham went to, where they built the temple, and which is in Jerusalem. And where did God give up his only son, Jesus? And if we think of Isaac as a type and shadow of Jesus coming, I just thought it was interesting that probably in the same area, and back in Abraham's day, this wasn't where he lived. He had to travel, I think it was maybe a day's journey or something, to get there. So it's just an interesting thought. So it was unto him coming and bringing us back into right relationship with the Father, unto the cross, where Jesus paid the price for our freedom. Unto God with us and God in us. Not only was he with us in the flesh, but now he's, and even, you know, where Jesus talks about him, we'll send the Holy Spirit, and that we should rejoice that he's going, because he's going to the Father, and the Father is greater. So, and as I was thinking this just the past day or two about, like, how does this reality affect us as Branch? How does this reality of God in us, God with us, in our midst, what does this change about the way we do things? I was reminded of a little over five years ago in the basement, where we started meeting in just a small group, and how the Lord was just encountering us in such a powerful way. And it was just the reality of him just being with us and in our midst. And I was just thinking about the Lord's faithfulness over the last couple years. And even tonight, you know, releasing Dave, but also just recognizing, like, hey, you know, the Lord just bringing the right people at the right time. And more than anything, the Lord's faithfulness in our midst. That not once has he not shown up. Some seasons have been so much easier than others, but not once has he not shown up. So even just this evening, I just feel like the Lord is wanting to stir our hearts again in a fresh way, in a fresh anticipation of what he wants to do. That even as the Branch, as a local church, even greater than the Branch, but especially in the Branch, there's been this sense in my spirit that, like, we're not called to just be another church. But there's this mantle or calling that is unto the nations, unto the unreached people groups, unto seeing the Holy Spirit pour out revival in Lancaster County. And so I just believe that even tonight, that the Lord wants to remind us again that of what he has for us as a church, that we would not, I think for us to set our eyes at anything less than that, we would be missing it. If we're doing community just for the sake of doing community, we're going to miss it. But even if we put our focus on going to the nations, if we put our focus in seeing revival come, without keeping our focus on Jesus, we're missing it. So this evening, I just felt like the Lord was just in a fresh way wanting to remind us to turn our eyes and our hearts to him and give him the adoration and the worship that he's worthy of. Because no other king, no other one came and gave his life for our freedom. No other one is worthy. So, and even tonight, I just believe that there's an invitation for us that, like, for us, sometimes we look at revival as it's going to be this big event, right? And I believe if we're waiting for the Lord to do revival, so to speak, if we're waiting for the big event, we're going to miss it. I believe that what the Lord is wanting to do in Lancaster County is actually that it's going to start with individual hearts and lives. So revival starts with us. And our depth in Him is determined in our secret place. Not in church, not with our friends, but in the secret place. Our depth is determined in the secret place. So about 2 months ago, we had a prayer night, and I had this picture. The Lord showed me this picture of, and I shared it with a couple people, of the Lord. Well, I seen this dove over Lancaster County. It's actually like right over. It seemed like I was seeing this. I wasn't looking out over the fields from the prayer room, but it seemed like that was sort of my view. And I seen this, you know, the cornfields just ripe and ready for harvest. Then I seen this dove just over Lancaster County, and I felt like the Lord was saying that that's His Holy Spirit, and His Spirit, the harvest is ready, and His Spirit is here, and I just feel like it's a now moment. And even as I was thinking about this the last day or two, I just sense that there's an urgency, that even as it's December in the natural, anybody ever see a cornfield still standing in December? You know, when it's 2 months overdue being harvested, you're like, somebody needs a combine or a driver for the combine. You know, the tops are falling in. You're like, if they don't get on it, they're going to lose the crop. And there's an urgency that in our hearts, the harvest is ready, if not overripe. But for us to fix our eyes on the harvest without fixing our eyes on Jesus, we're missing it. But for us to fix our eyes on Jesus will lead to us stopping for the one and seeing the harvest come in. So yeah, that's just that's pretty much what I felt the Lord had for this evening. That it's not in our own strength, but it's in the Holy Spirit. Yeah, just for us, just as a community, let's set our eyes on Him. In this season, obviously, we're in a season where the harvest is ripe. And it's so easy to get caught up with everything around us and just be busy. But I believe that tonight the Lord is just wanting to stir our hearts to see Him have the reward of His suffering. Because ultimately, He's worthy. Emmanuel, God with us. I really feel like maybe, is somebody going to play keys? And we'll just spend a little time just waiting on the Lord and just really just have a dialogue with the Lord, and just allow the Lord to stir our hearts in a fresh way. That all lesser things, everything else, just fade away. And just allow the Lord just to bring us back to that place of simple awe and wonder. It's not a switch, but it's a lifestyle. You know, for us to go through life and like, sometimes we feel like, man, I really want to walk in revival. Or I really want to walk beyond fire. And I want to spend time with the Lord. And next time, no, I'm busy. But I feel like tonight the Lord is inviting us in to a lifestyle of worship, to a lifestyle, and He's just wanting to stir our hearts. So even tonight, let's stand and just put your hands out in front of you and just posture your heart before the Lord just to receive from Him. We'll just have a moment of silence just to let the Lord stir our hearts. Yeah, Jesus, tonight we say we'll let all lesser things just fade away. Everything else that demands our attention. Jesus, we choose to let it go. If you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord and you don't know that He's in you, I just want to invite you to get somebody that you know and pray with them and just talk to them. And if you're here and you really feel like you need somebody to pray with you, just invite you forward at this time.
It's so good. You know, when I asked Jesse to share, he said, what do you want me to talk about? I said, bro, just give us your heart. Like, I know you, bro. I know that what's on your heart is what we need. And I don't know about you, but my heart is not only stirred, but it's burning because it's this reality of God incarnate, right? God in the flesh. You know, every religion is built on the foundational truth, and or not truth, but this foundational idea that we have to work to get to God. And Emmanuel means that the script is flipped. He came to us. Emmanuel is God in pursuit of us. And because of that, He's closer than we can even know. He's closer than our next breath, our next thought. He's right there. He came, like Jesse talked about. It's not just unto 33 years of Jesus in the flesh. It's unto this new era, this new reality for the human race. That God is available because He came. He pursued us. And there's that when Jesse was just sharing that word for us as Branch, my heart so resonated with almost this charge that we're called not just to be about our own thing, but to be about the harvest. And in that time, as we were waiting in silence, the Lord just said, I've called you guys to two things. I've called you to sit and I've called you to go. And you know, Mary Magdalene sat at the feet of Jesus. And He said, if you don't learn to sit, you'll never go for Me. You can go, but you won't be going for Me. And so this reality of His presence being what we gather around. We have to learn this, guys. We have to learn this. We're called to sit at His feet. We're called to receive from Him. We're called to experience who God is. That's why He came. And from that place, we're equipped to go. I'm here to tell you guys tonight, it's not about Branch. It's about the worth of Jesus. And it's about the fact that the harvest is ripe. And the greatest injustice that a human being can experience. I want you to think about this. The greatest injustice that a human being can experience in the earth today is not having an opportunity to respond to the gospel. Because He came 2,000 years ago. And if you haven't heard that yet and what that means, that is an injustice. And that is something that needs to grip our hearts. And I'm here to tell you, as we sit at His feet, that's when it grips our hearts. As we sit at His feet, that's when we become part of the solution. As we sit at His feet, that's when we become marked to be His witnesses and His ambassadors, and to make this great wrong right. That there's 2 billion people in this world that have not heard His name yet. And I believe that's why Jesus said, when there's a witness in all nations, then the end will come. Jesus is saying, I came, I'm Emmanuel, I'm with you, God with us. But here's the thing, He's coming back and He's saying, I came in the flesh. And I'm not coming back in the flesh until everyone has had a chance to respond to who I am. To respond to this message. If there's one word, it's Emmanuel. It's that He's with us. And I'm telling you, those 2 billion people are striving to get to God. But He's already come. And we need to go. We need to go. And so here's what I want to do in this time as well. I think there's others whose hearts are being stirred and whose hearts are burning. But this is what I feel like the Lord is saying, is He's calling us to sit and He's calling us to go. And so I just want us, I think He wants to mark our hearts tonight. I know we do this a lot, but the front is open, guys. The altar is open, right? And there's something about stepping out and saying, I'm going to step out and I'm going to receive this. I want the Holy Spirit to mark my heart. And so there's two invitations tonight because He's calling us to two things. To sit and to go. If you don't even know how to sit like Mary Magdalene, if you're like Martha, you're always so busy scurrying around. Maybe you get frustrated with people who know how to sit. I know I do sometimes. We need the conviction of the Holy Spirit to show us how to sit at His feet. So if you just want to sit at His feet, and you want to be marked with that lifestyle, like Jesse said, it's not just, sometimes we're looking for a shift, or we're looking for an encounter, but it's a lifestyle. But if that's the lifestyle you want, I want to invite you up here to sit at His feet, nothing else, just to sit at His feet. Because as a body, as a church, we're called to sit. And if we can't learn that, we missed it, guys. We missed it. And if that's not what this is about, if that's not even what our gatherings are about, if we're not gathering around His presence and the opportunity and the privilege to sit at His feet, then I don't want any part of it. But it's Emmanuel. It's God with us. And like Jesse said, He's been so faithful to show up. And so if you want that to mark your heart tonight, I want to invite you up here. The second thing is if you feel like you're called to go, and I hope you feel that way. But if you feel like you're called to go, I see you, Jesse. If you feel like you're called to go, I believe that God wants to mark your heart in the place of encounter to be a witness, to be an ambassador to those who haven't heard, right? And what maybe it's to go to your neighborhood, maybe it's to go to your family, or maybe it's to go to the nations. But if you're called to go, I believe God wants to mark our hearts tonight that we would be a body of people, that we would be a church that would be about those two things. We'd be a presence-centered community with a missional focus. Come on. Come on, guys. The front is open. I don't care if everyone comes up here. We'll make room somehow. Because this is what we're called to. And I believe the Holy Spirit's going to mark our hearts tonight. Lord, we're not in a hurry tonight. We're not in a hurry. Holy Spirit, we're not in a hurry. But we are hungry. We are hungry to receive from You. We're hungry to sit at Your feet like Mary Magdalene. We're hungry to take that alabaster jar and break it open. And break it open, Lord. We're hungry to give our lives for something so worthy as the name and the fame of Jesus. And so would You come and mark our hearts tonight as we sit at Your feet? Would You teach us to sit and would You teach us to go? Would You mark us as a church who loves Your presence and who will settle for nothing less? Will You mark us as a church who's activated into mission and into movement? Do it tonight, Lord. Do it tonight, Lord. Father, I pray especially for those who've come forward, Lord. Holy Spirit, would You mark their hearts? Would You begin to speak even now about identity? Would You begin to speak even now about the fact that You've come, that the striving has ended, that they've entered into a place of rest and You're there? You're there. Would You speak to them about what it means to be a witness and an ambassador to the kingdom? Would You speak to them about what it means to step into that harvest dynamic? That their lives would be laid down as laborers. That they would be willing to take everything they have and break it open as they sit at the feet of Jesus.